This is East End Inc. Tonight we present a session of the East Hampton Poetry Marathon, recorded in August 2019 at the East Hampton Historical Society's barn at Mulford Farm. The readers are Walter Donway, Pauline Yates, Virginia Walker, Rosalind Brenner, Carol Stone, and Dee Slavutin, who are members of the East Hampton Poetry Group, and Stephen Rosen, reading the work of Harvey Shapiro. The program started with Walter Donway, followed by Pauline Yates and Virginia Walker.
To Ethan, it is my role, surely ever has been, to dry the tears, to say the pain will pass. A little rain just now and sunshine then, the bump, that stubborn button, the lemonade that never seemed to sell, the awful fever waylaying our vacation, the band-aid appalling to pull. Your hero foretold that as these came, so they would go, secure in hope you could not share, and ever bold to beard the lion. But today, my son, you do not cry. When you have loved and lost, possessing, knowing all, ruling all, then none, you weep, and weep in pain that's yours alone. No seasoned glance assesses its depth and fixes a compass on shores well known. No nostrums, my nostrums, packets of sagacity, reside like tired toys in some shuttered past. In this pain you are a stranger to me. Where is the infant's familiar distress, the child's toppled pride crying for the kiss? I might pose that life goes on. I could guess a clear day may come to dry tears and let a laugh gust past the heart's rage. And love, not mine, not pills from that old cabinet, redress your soul's nakedness. Oh, may it be. May you become the father to the child, though that be all that remains of me. This again is about Ethan. This one's called Decoration. To be a hero only those few years, a hero to a boy, was not enough to brace a whole dull life. I yearn for more, but some voice murmurs how I was such stuff as rode on subways, rode office chairs that squeaked, was one who lopped each hydra-headed week through 40 years, besieging the hellish gates of merely living well. I must make do with one citation, blockish letters drawn and then retraced, as though their maker knew how time erases. My dad's my hero, a blue line sheet creased, lost a life ago. This is called Matilda, Facing Matilda. I like this profile to you, Matilda Bright. And so your cat, new hat, hairdo. I like your XOO, although not meant for me. Your grin, the hiked up breasts flouted in your selfie. I like your happiness. I like McMurray's bar, where you and three babes smile. I like this who you are, off Facebook for a while. I like your home tonight, wherever that may be. Like that you made stew from mother's recipe. Matilda, I like you, and each day's selfies too, although you never see my pics or click on me.
Sound body. Sound moves through me. Raindrops whispering a breath on distant leaves, harmonics brushed across my skin. I'm a sultry jazz man's drum. A moment's flurry in a thrumming firefly's wing, resonating in sinew, membrane, artery, revealing oral sensibility, echoing in calcium and cartilage. I'm now a pulse of pixelated rhythm, surfing in a light-filled sea of stillness, searing boundaries of shape and self. Purified in cooling fire, form falls away, dissolved and lost within an endless bliss. I am a kiss of aching tenderness. The music of trees, inspired by T.S. Eliot's four quartets. laughter hidden in the foliage. I know well those sacred melodies. They put Notre Dame to shame in Paris, rippling through cathedral forests. If you listen close in summer, you will hear the peal of tiny nickel bells about the size of July raindrops, spiking skin on steamy nights, faint frissons of ancient ecstasy. Resonance appears in fall as gold and copper splinters, jangling like sidelong incantations in ruffled breeze, simmering in sunrise. Bowing sentinels that breathe the world in unison sway in lissome shivers to a hushed cacophony, secret slipstream shared in canopy, song communicated to the sky.
For Wang Dan, legend of Tiananmen, who later wished he had made more ordered demands, flickers over the historical chaos on the screen. 30 years later, who can claim to be Banner of the forward challenging the world growing complacent with technology? A world not full with freedom desired, which the new young cannot grasp since they have not known how to desire. All seems guaranteed, except what their inner selves have yet to see scrolled on a screen. Will Google find the man against the tank? The state and the corporation, often the same, give youth no direction, only apps and blocking rules. No readily scratched itch requires values and accords. They arrive with the bureaucracy of the prisons, with bugs and mold, the fetid and rancid, revealing the absence of what had not been fully known absent, freedom unconfined, the many-thought freedom, many-voiced freedom, the saying, the questioning, the self-found. Propagation of the faith. We were given cutouts of paper printed with nativity and crucifixion, which we folded into boxes with a slot on top to receive our coins so we could save the souls of Africans and bring them to Holy Mother Church. I gave up candy and ribbons for a doll's trim to hoard coins for this paper missionary to set forth steady across the strong seas. Did any of my boxes, heavy with buffaloes and mercuries, help to bring more Africans to the font and the promise of heaven? Churches were built not only by Catholics. All Christian sects divided Africa. Missionaries wrestled each other to claim souls. I do not recall revelation terrors executed by priest or laity. I hope the boxes unfolded a kind Christ. Today, Africans lie tortured and beheaded in the ashes of their small churches. Children are raped and carried away. The propagation of a different faith needs no paper boxes filled with children earnest to save souls. Infidels we created fall before boxes of weapons forged in warrior text of world dominion. Whose monies will save African souls now? Birth of humanity. As I plant my raised garden bed ordered from Gardener's Supply, I think of that fictive first woman and know she would need no serpent to bring it to the bite of no return. Why were their acts forbidden and the tree at the center of paradise off limits to the two expected to obey? If I were to conceive Eve, the fruit of the petal would be enough to lure her. Why be an unthinking servant? We needed to seize control, not labor in compliance. I see a brave Eve willing us to knowledge, risking all for freedom. In her memory, with no God anywhere, I plant seeds in my new bed, ease my way to a Lord's bounty in Eden weather. The bees circle and the butterflies sail by. I will create my paradise, knowing all I crave, control over my life, my own earth, all shoots, stalks, and fruiting bodies. I crave all the words I can read written by free humanity, all that can feed the chain-breaking mind. Passage to the outer world. I made sure when we cut into our woods that we did so gracefully, only gradually moving to the center where the house would be on our acre plus. 40 years later, I walk up the drive to get the times, as I've done time and time again, noting all the branches dropped on the gravel, which have we replaced at least once. I pass Lakothi, I planted the first year. Some grown, others never thrived. Tiny asters are in bloom once more, and in the spring I can expect the wild geraniums to return. The passage is dependable for what never changes. The stunted huckleberry, the straggly viburnum, yet the native dogwoods have died that used to line my walk to the street. Our added andromedas flourish and make colonies to deepen the woods with green. But the huge oak we saved once now dies. We twisted the drive and the house to allow it life. 3 times it was cut back, so heavy and unsafe became its shade. After a hurricane, it was cut back so the roof could be repaired. Then huge mushrooms dared its base. A death sure to come, said an arborist. Another tender of trees said he could save the oak by severely pruning, and so we did last year. But this August, all the new growth turned brown at once. My stable walk, our unchanging drive, will lose its anchoring point. The house was placed where it is because of this huge 100-year-old tree. We are only halfway there on our journey together. And I wonder what other changes of suddenness will alter our passage to and from our home to the outer world. The darkly leaning, the perennials, the coming snow that buries the gravelly way, they will be.
This is East End Ink. We heard poets Walter Donway, Pauline Yates, and Virginia Walker, recorded in August 2019 at the annual East Hampton Poetry Marathon. We continue now with poet Rosalind Brenner.
Under the belly sing. The morning's amethyst sky. Be here, the moment pearl, droplets, pebble, Montauk daisies, green life, lambent sun, salt air, ants trek the peony, blossoms thirst for light. Plant cactus, careless of spines, to find your skin. Uncover the raw beneath the flesh of you. Find what makes you in a waking beach. You are reflection in the dark walker's glasses. Those shells and stones, their sound like castanets against the shore. That weed, a plank lifting from the boardwalk. The intaglio of your footprint in the sand, the cup of rooibos tea you sip. A gull drops his oyster, squawks. He dives, beak pulls hungry at its meat. Breath sleeps in you until you watch it. Slip on your running shoes, take the shoreline, jump naked into the freezing bay. So that's from my chapbook, Omega's Garden. And here's, my poems are very much narrative poems, some lyric about nature and that sort of thing, but they're kind of compressed stories. This one was published in a wonderful anthology about migration from Everywhere a Little. So I'm going to read this to you. It's a story, really. The whole. When the Black Hand shot Archduke Franz Ferdinand in the jugular on a bridge in Sarajevo near her village, Branka was 6. She had been taught the Goyim would beat her with a cross if she entered the forest. As that shot started World War I, her father, to her a faded photo on her mama's farmhouse wall, got a message through. He found a place for them in New York City, America. You must come now. 2. On Delancey Street, Bronca's teacher poked her sharp-nailed finger through the pink Angora sweater. What's this hole, Jew girl? She yanked the threads, gave Bronca a Shiksa name, Betty. I had to quit school because we couldn't afford a gym suit, Mother told me, when I was old enough to understand. I was a beauty, too smart for my own good. I buried myself in books and boys and men, and then your father. The hole grew larger. 3. Mother sang show tunes with the radio. Outside our third floor window, a dark shaftway rang with davening. Across the valley, the alley in the shul's sparse square of dirt, weeds and garbage grew. She dressed me in pinafores, checkered coats with velvet collars from B. Altman's. Hand in hand, we'd walk the wooden floors, peering into showcases. She picked dresses, pointed out wide pleated sleeves that looked like accordions, smooth silk sashes, yards of petticoats for her to press away creases. I dressed and undressed my bride doll, sent by Dad from somewhere far away, while Mom tried on clothes in the open dressing room. Olive pupiled eyes opened and shut, click, 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 click. 4. I learned to sing her favorite songs so we could harmonize. Much later, I paid for lipsticks she pocketed from Woolworth's Five and Dime. Rudy Valley almost discovered me, Mother told me many times. We were crossing Fifth Avenue. He came right up, said I should be in movies because I'm gorgeous. Rudy Valley. And your father just kept yanking me across the street. I think some of you might appreciate this. Double vision. In the summer side lanes of East Hampton, Porsches and Mercedes can't go fast enough to please their passengers because natives in pickups deliberately slow down. Sales girls in beach shacks slip on their dream clothes, and wild turkeys strut like showmen, their wattles quivering with indignity as they cross Hog Creek Lane. Impatient drivers swerve while roadkill deer are shoveled away. Once I stopped my car to help a turtle cross 3 Mile Harbor Road and was nearly struck down by a hell-for-leather out-of-towner. I still get out to usher critters across, but I look both ways and flail my arms like a drunken traffic cop. They stop. But who am I to take the moral high ground? I crunched a box turtle at the bottom of our hill. It felt like bones grinding beneath my wheels. I carried the broken shell and body to the bay and found a quiet spot for burial under sand and stones. The usually indifferent sunset shouted at me through streaks of orange and aqua, why the hell don't all of you slow down? Time and I do slow when seasons shift. Weather rises like a golem on the bay as cold arrives. I bundle in my jacket and boots to get the mail, then back inside to watch snow veil cedars as it settles on my garden Buddha. Nobody for a while. 7 a.m. In that region bisected by dream and waking, half away, half here, I moan good morning. Already you are inching out of bed. Your side of the cooling sheets holds your scent, smells like love. My arms wrap around my pillow. I watch you begin to pull on clothes in the patina of first light. I call you back, adjust my body, rising to grant you access. And though each of us asks for less than wild, the dazzle of our coupling eases the baggage we help each other carry through the day.
We heard poet Rosalind Brenner at the East Hampton Poetry Marathon. Next up, Stephen Rosen reads the work of Harvey Shapiro.
New York Notes. Caught on a side street in heavy traffic, I said to the cabbie, I should have walked. He replied, I should have been a doctor. When can I get on the 11:33? I asked the guy in the information booth at the Atlantic Avenue station. When they open the doors, he says, I am home among my people. How Charlie Shavers died. He had a gig, but he was hurting. His doctor said, play the date, then check into the hospital. That night, when the party ended and the band packed up, Charlie started to give stuff away, his watch, his rings, to the women in the room. Then he circled the room with his horn, playing, quote, for all I know, we may never meet again, unquote. At this point, the man who was telling the story in the locker room at the Manhattan Plaza gym and who had sung the line slowly with a pause between each word began to cry. Two more very short poems. This one is posthumous, A Momentary Glory, and here's the title poem from that posthumous collection. It's titled A Momentary Glory. This world is a momentary glory. I never thought it would last forever, so I tried to get it down in one notebook or another, in one poem or another. Somewhere you can find it. And finally, The Old Jew. Who would have thought his taste for pickled herring would outlast his taste for women?
We heard Stephen Rosen reading the work of Harvey Shapiro at the East Hampton Poetry Marathon. Next up, poet Carol Stone.
Two men holding a tallit, after a painting by Shimson Lemberger. Each of the men holds tight to his end of the prayer shawl, unable to give it up. One claims it was his great-grandfather's, the other that he found it near his house, possession, 9/10 of the law. The rabbi strokes his beard, as if remembering King Solomon's judgment. He rules that the tallit must be divided. The painter doesn't show how the men would live with half. I want them to sit together, sip steaming tea through cubes of sugar clenched in their teeth, talking of human loss and holy things. I do have a lot of paintings. I have a whole book based on Edward Hopper's paintings, and I don't know how I got to this one, but there it is. Flamingo. For Richard Hinchliffe, 1915 to 2019. Our son-in-law bought it at an art sale. For 20 years, it stood in the battered barrel outside our Springs house, as if it would be with us forever. It was there when we came home late at night. It watched our house through winter snow. Pink faded, body cracked, it has toppled over. My husband hauls it to the dump, where it will mingle with the earth. We scrape the barrel's dead leaves away, add fertilizer, dig impatience into the dirt. O flamingo, goodbye to you, a fiction, as we all are. Every day we water the flowers, hover
making
over them
tortillas.
Like anxious parents. I love food poems. How easy it is for the women at the Mercado, their hands covered with dough. They slap each thick slice like wrestlers, pinning challengers to the mat. I blend flour with lard, sprinkle a dash of salt, a little water, put the dough in a mixing bowl to knead. I dust the cutting board, roll out each tortilla, shape it, toss it onto the griddle until it's crisp, wrap it in a dish towel. Later, I'll rip one apart, as if I've lived here all my life, and like the market women say, que bueno.
We heard Carol Stone at the East Hampton Poetry Marathon. Next is poet and Poetry Marathon producer Dee Slavutin.
Writer's block. Paper. Pencil. But no paragraph. Empty. As a silkless lingerie drawer. I rummage for words. How can I transform a figment to a fragment? This paper to a raft, my pencil to an oar. Stranded, parched, starved for syllables, yearning for an exclamation point. It is pointless. There is no flow. Adrift in this lonely archipelago, I will drown until a semantic mermaid rescues me. August, say goodbye to them. Watch her lover flee in dawn down the dewy mountain moor to the life to which he's sworn. The star's silhouette fading, so too the kisses on her lips he bestowed as God does rain. On her skin they turn to mist. She captured his devotion, her hazel gaze transcended. The quiet life she led reversed with her surrender. As a flower to the sun will evoke itself beyond the boundary known as beauty, just as summer's gone. August, heed your salient end, new life destroyed in one season. Her lover never did return. She fades for the same reason.
This is East End, Inc. We heard a portion of the East Hampton Poetry Marathon session recorded at the East Hampton Society's Mulford Farm Barn in August of 2019. The poets heard were Walter Donway, Pauline Yates, Virginia Walker, Stephen Rosen, reading the works of Harvey Shapiro, Rosalind Brenner, Carol Stone, and the Marathon's producer, Dee Slavutin. The complete recording and information about the poets is at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Canio's Cultural Cafe at 290 Main Street in Sag Harbor presents the following free literary events. On Friday, November 29th at 5, spy novelist Alan First reads from his latest Under Occupation. On Saturday, December the 7th, at a time to be announced, it'll be a celebration of Emily Dickinson with poet Julie Sheen and a round-robin reading from the essential Emily Dickinson, plus Emily T. And on Saturday, December 14th at 5 p.m., Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Philip Schultz will read from Luxury. More events can be found at canios.com. East End, Inc. is heard on the 4th and occasional 5th Wednesday each month. Programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Podcasts are available at soundcloud.com. Search for East End, Inc. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst with the aid of Dee Slavutin.